The Chiefs might be interested in Deebo Samuel, but should they be? We got to talk about what it is right now, getting ready for the draft, about what they're doing this week, and what is the final preparations for this first round selection that Brett Veach gets to play around with. We're going to get into it all today on Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, friends and neighbors. This is Locked On Chiefs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day for free everywhere, including YouTube. If you'd hit the like and the sub and the bell over there, we would appreciate it, as well as your Spotify and iTunes reviews. We appreciate that. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and Performance Consulting, where you can still get the draft guide. If you want every stat imaginable that plays into where those selections go, go check that out and use the code Locked On to get yourself a nice little discount. Also want to mention, folks, if you would check out NFL33.com, that is the new Substack for my draft preparations along with the rest of my team. We're just launching it today. It's going to be a long off season, but we wanted to get it out there for you. You can get over there and check that out. Free, paid subscriptions, whatever you feel like. A lot going on. Chris, it's Friday. We got to talk philosophy. This is like the last push to get into the draft mode.
It is the last push, and I'm Chris Clark, founder of Chiefs Corner. As you can see on the website, kcchiefscorner.com. Going to be talking a lot more about NFL draft over the next week and getting into some analytics and statistics. We had a show yesterday. If you missed it, go check it out. We had Sports Information Solutions on yesterday talking about their statistics, and I think their site's really pretty cool. So a lot to get into there. But when we start looking at what the Chiefs are going to do in this draft and you start talking about a guy like Deebo Samuel, he's a talent that Kansas City doesn't currently have on the roster, that type of talent. But that's going to be very expensive to get. And it sounds like, based on what we've already heard, the 49ers would want more than the Chiefs got for Hill.
That's what's crazy to me. And yes, I will put it this way. I think they should be talking to them. I know that they have. They can say, hey, we have any interest. We're concentrating right now. Yes, I know you are, but your job is to be able to do two things at once. That's why you have a staff. So, yes, there have been discussions. Will it go very far? I think the compensation is the big thing, because as much as you have to like the game that Deebo Samuel brings to the field, I don't think that it's fair to compare it to Tyreek Hill. And quite frankly, if you did, I think Deebo loses. So yeah. In demanding that kind of compensation, I don't think it's going to happen at that level.
Yeah, and I don't think that it's going to happen at that level either. If they're going to get trade away Deebo Samuel, I think it's going to be closer to maybe just a first-round pick or something similar. I just don't see them getting anything close to what Tyreek Hill got. Deebo Samuel's had one career year versus Hill doing this for four or five. So big difference there. And the one thing that really plays out and stands out to me in this regard is this doesn't seem to be about money from Samuel. I know that money is going to play a part of it, but it doesn't seem to be that's the big crux of why he's looking to be traded at this point.
That's the iffy thing. And everybody has their own experience, right? You know, if you have run your course at the organization you're with and you want out, more power to you. It's just the mysterious nature of just going along. And we found out roughly a week after it happened, as we understand. And it's about value. I don't think personally that the Chiefs can use him in the same way in Andy's system. So I don't know that the value's there. I think they should be interested, and I think they should talk it through. And if reality sinks in and it's a second round pick that we're talking about as compensation, yep, then maybe it's something that gets done.
The big thing for me, though, is knowing what the player wants and knowing what his reasoning of wanting out of the 49ers is. And it sounds like, at least from what we've garnered at this point, is that he wants out because he doesn't want to be used as a running back. I completely get that. I mean, if you look at the length of a running back career in the NFL compared to other positions, it's relatively slow or relatively low. And you look at how he was used last year, he was used as a running back 21% of the time in the last 11 games. That's a lot more than he was the first 2.5 years of his career, where it was closer to 2 or 3%. And I'm not talking like what Tyreek Hill did or Mecole Hardman did. You know, those kinds of plays I think he'd be okay with. It's the constant lining up in the backfield, getting handed the ball, and acting like a running back 20% of the time.
Yeah, it's the collisions. They catch up.
It absolutely is.
And yes, he's a thickly built dude. Like, he's strong, but – that will catch up with you. It doesn't matter who you are. It will catch up with you in this league. And so I think that if I'm the organization in San Francisco, I'm asking for Fertz hands down. I mean, Pro Bowl, All Pro, like, yes, that demands that request. Right. But in the end, I don't think that's what it goes for, whether it's the Chiefs or anybody else. The question to me was usage, like you said, if you're not going to line him up in the backfield and he doesn't want to play that way, is he enough value given what the Chiefs have in guys that probably should line up more in the slot, in McColl, in Juju? I don't know that that's a trade-off that I'm willing to make.
And I get that. I think the big thing for him is if you're in a running back role, you're going to be hit from linemen a lot more than you would if you're going to be a wide receiver. If you're going to be a wide receiver, you're generally going to be hit by corners and safeties. And yeah, they can lay some wood as well, but it's not the same type of hit. It's not the same poundage that's going after you that you're going to get as a running back. So I think that's a big thing playing into it. Now, whether or not Andy Reid could use him, I do believe Reid could design enough things to make him successful in this offense. I mean, he had 1,400 yards as a receiver. Yes, he does his best stuff in the slot, but I think he has the ability to play outside. The question that would become in that regard is, do you think he is an alpha? Do you think he is that wide receiver one? Do you think he can be that guy? If he can't, then that's a completely different scenario.
I know the league is morphing, and I know there are people that believe the wide receiver one can function from the slot and be your primary threat. I am not one that is convinced of that yet. So no, I don't think that's what his role is. I think it is a complementary role, a high end too, but I don't think it is a primary receiver that defenses have to go scheme to take away.
Yeah, and if he's not that, then it drives the value down even further.
Yeah. And it's the decision-making that you have to get to. Is do you roll that all in together? And maybe you made an initial call. Maybe you aren't interested. We have to go through what the Chiefs are going through. And right now is prime time. This is going to be a very active weekend for them. We're going to walk through what's going on inside the building today and what's prepping for Thursday.
There's a ton of prep going on for Thursday. But before we get to that prep that they're doing right now, I want to tell you about our friends over at Shady Rays. I had a chance to actually go out and look at this website and go look at all their different designs and sunglasses. I actually ordered a couple pairs myself. Do have those coming. I will be having those hopefully next week so I can share what those look like. I really like their designs. I really like what they give you. I actually got a pair that has magnetic lenses to where you're able to change them very easily between different colors and usages. So I think that's going to be helpful as well. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that gives you the features of $200 sunglasses for a fraction of the price. That means polarized lenses, well-constructed, durable frames, and premium high-end finishes. Also, something you won't find anywhere else is Shady Rays' insane protection program. Shady Rays includes lost and broken protection on every pair. They will send you a brand new pair if you lose them. Not just break them, but lose them no matter what happened. And I bet you do. Knowing how you treat your truck, I can only imagine how you treat things that are smaller. Give them a try, and if you don't love them, you'll pay nothing. It's as simple as that. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code LOCKEDON to get 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That's code LOCKEDON for their best deal of the season. 50% off two or more pairs of Shady Rays sunglasses, backed by over 150,000 verified five-star reviews. And since you're going to be saving some money on those sunglasses that you're going to be buying, maybe you can take the rest of that money that you have and head over to our friends over at betonline.net. They're your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of something called Major League Baseball. I guess that's still going on right now. Hockey's going on as well. BetOnline is your continued source for your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Emerald,
so much
ice
to talk about.
That's what I'm going to have to look at at Shady's. Emerald ice. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Lot to talk about. And it comes back to this thing about, hey, we're not interested at this time. That meant, as we've heard from Brett Veach before, as he said, hey, you know, we're not doing anything with Orlando Brown at this time. And 5 minutes later, he was traded to the Kansas City Chiefs. So,
which by the way, would have happened a week, or would have happened tomorrow, or when this show is playing on Friday,
right?
A week before the draft, 6 days before the draft is when they traded for Orlando Brown. So that is key here. If Kansas City is going to make a move, it's going to be now.
I do think so. I don't think the Chiefs are going to be interested after the draft. I know the Niners would be. I mean, let's be truthful. You never know what Brett Veach is going to do, but
right.
just because he said we weren't interested at the moment, it only means that moment, folks. I don't think it's something that ends up going through, because when you make your analysis in terms of impact at that contract level, it is another situation similar to DK's. You're going to have to pay him eventually. I think he's got, what, one more year under contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's coming up quick. Now, I like him on the field, and this is where I have to take that hat off and talk about your field of expertise in the cap. I just can't see that being worth it when you can get two players at the position, probably two that you really like, at less than half of that cost it's going to be for him, just on the end of his rookie contract, let alone what you'll have to pay him afterwards.
And this goes back to what I said about DK, and this goes back to what I said about AJ Brown when we've talked about AJ Brown as well. You can pay those guys. The Chiefs can pay those guys. The question that it comes down to me is, you don't pay those guys unless you think he is going to be your alpha and you believe that he can be your guy that can step in and defenses are going to have to worry about him every single play. If he can be that, then it's worth paying whatever you're going to end up having to pay him. And you have the ability to spread the cap out however you see fit. Maybe you give a bigger signing bonus to a guy like Debo or DK or AJ Brown or somebody like that, where you get a spread out, you know, give them a $50 or $60 million signing bonus, which is not normal with wide receivers. But if you do that, you can spread that out over 5 or 6 years and defray the cost or delay the cost a little bit. So there's options there. It's, you can pay them if you want to. The question becomes, is it worth the cap space that you're going to have to spend? And is it worth the draft capital you're going to have to spend? And that's one of the biggest keys, and that's kind of why I started over at Chiefs Corner doing a breakdown of all the different position groups, what we've spent cap, what the Chiefs have spent cap-wise, what they spent draft capital, because that's really what it comes down to, that the team has to look at, where are we short in our different areas, and where do we need to continue to add? And wide receiver, in my mind, is still, I still think it's probably the number one need. And I understand people wanting to say edges. I get it.
Edges. But, oh, I thought that was my cue. Sorry.
Go ahead. Say it. I get it. But they have guys that can actually start, not maybe get the production you want, but they have guys that can start that are going to be there for a couple of years. Wide receiver has nobody past next year or past this year.
And
MBS is possible.
Right.
It's possibly a cut.
And that's my focus too, is going back to, this class is pretty good. It's deep and it's varied. And I think you need a multiple, not just a role, but you have multiple roles that you need to fill. So I think you need multiple bodies. And I think if you can get weapons now in an interesting class that allows you to kind of build out that basketball team, like we hear a lot of the national media talk about, well, it's because guys actually follow that philosophy in the league. We haven't seen that necessarily with Brett Veach so far, but I think we're starting to see that. And if you have some smaller speedy guys, you have some bigger bodied guys that still have some speed. I think speed's going to be kind of like the prerequisite for everybody, but more bodies for the same cost, I think, helps, especially when they're all in rookie contracts and they all have upside. And the way that they're stacking the board right now, and folks, that is what they're doing. It is Thursday evening when we're recording this. By the time you hear this, stacking conversations are already on the board. They've had a board semi-started since before the season ended. Now they're moving it around. They're making sure, hey, are we overreacting to any one piece of the offseason or not? And when it comes to wide receivers, it's troublesome that two of the arguably top three receivers in this class didn't work out all of the offseason. And if they did, it was barely moving at all. Yep. And they are more projection than an average year.
That's true, and you start looking at what it's going to mean going forward, and you start looking at what Kansas City's doing. They've been running mock simulations for probably 2 months, I would imagine. Maybe longer even longer. Yeah, maybe even longer than that. So they have a pretty good idea as to where they think people are going to go. But I still think you look at different people that talk about the NFL draft year-round. Matt Miller is one of our friends. We've talked to him on Twitter a couple of times and conversed there, but he keeps saying this is one of the weirdest drafts he's seen in his 10 years covering the draft. And I think that is real because you start looking at how all these different pieces are going to fit together. You have four or five edges that are guaranteed to go in round one. You have four or five wide receivers. You have five receivers that are guaranteed to go in round one, but none of them maybe even go in the top 10. I mean, the runs that are going to happen in just round one are going to be crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the big question. How do you deal with that?
You're going to need fuel. I'll tell you that. And I'll tell you where I think some of the stacking issues are as somebody that does cover the draft year round now. We'll get into that in a minute, because if you are hungry and you do need that fuel, you got to get the Built Bars. I'm out of my props today, unfortunately, because, you know, like we're doing things around the house here, folks. But you know what they look like and you know what they taste like. And if you don't, then you're in for a treat. They are the best tasting protein bar out there. And that's what they are. They taste like candy, but they are not. It doesn't matter if it's like the new cinnamon churro deal, coconut marshmallow, any of the puffs. They're the hot flavors now. I like the mint chocolate stuff. I even like the white chocolate cookies and cream. That's pretty dang good too. My kids love them. In fact, I have to hide them so that I have props or else the children steal them. They are what you want to get because they taste great. They actually have real chocolate. It's not a ton, but it's enough to give you that taste flavor without jacking all the bad things. So they end up with 4 net carbs, with 4 grams of sugar. They're generally under 150 calories, all the way down to 120 at times, 17 grams of protein. That's what they do. All their macros are great compared to a candy bar that's probably 300 calories at that point, plus all that empty sugar gives you no nutrients whatsoever on top of all the flavors. And if you come up with something new, they might actually just build it for you. They are all over the place on flavors. You want to check out the Built Bar. It's really easy too. You go over to built.com, use our promo code LOCK15, and you get 15% off the top of your order right now. First thing out of the gun, go. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. So stacking the board, that's something that I'm going to be doing this weekend, folks. And you'll all be able to see my draft board early next week, available for free download. You can follow along with the draft. I do it every year. It'll be on NFL33.com. And as it goes forward, that's always the hardest part for me because I don't have a couple of the pieces. I don't get the interviews and I don't get the medicals. But that makes
those things are huge.
Even harder. They are. They're enormous. But it makes things even harder for the team because you have to say potential versus potential minus an injury or minus this aspect of personality. So it is in the stack where it all comes out. And I think wide receiver is probably the hardest position to stack this year. Honestly, edge is one of the easiest, in my opinion, because I've watched them all. And literally just about every edge you can think of, I have seen film on them this year. Do you find it easy to put them in an order, or are you still hemming and hawing on some of the edge prospects?
I still hem and haw, especially when it comes to value and fit for Kansas City. But I think the big question I have for you, and I know you were asking about edge, but my question to you when it comes to wide receiver is, do you see it as there's 5 top wide receivers and then there's a second tier that starts after those top 5?
I see there's 4. And okay. Then there is a second tier. So it is Jameson Williams. It is the 2 guys from Ohio State, Olave and Wilson, and it is Drake London. And that's the 4. Then you take a step down, and then it's Jahan Dotson, who can do everything for you, but isn't the explosive player that some of those guys are in one way or another. And then it's Treylon Burks, and then it goes on from there. So and I think those guys might be a second tier all in themselves, just those 2 guys.
Fair enough. And I have to ask this because we were talking about Deebo earlier. Do you think that you can get the same type of production that you got from Deebo Samuel with a guy like Treylon Burks?
I do not. People like to make that comparison and the acceleration.
I saw that today. That's why I'm asking.
Okay. Yeah. The acceleration and the lateral agility is not the same. Yep. Yes, he does some of the similar things in that he's given the ball in the backfield and he works on the jet sweeps and he works the little unders that turn into big yards. He is much like Chris Conley in that he has very good top end speed, but he's not a violent accelerator. And that's the problem. Unlike Deebo, who is. And so making that adjustment, that's fine for all of us out here in the public, not inside team organizations. But if organizations make that mistake, they're going to be in trouble because they're not going to get the player that sounds like. True. And I do want to add, too, everyone's going to be up in arms right now. If there is a third person in that second tier, it is George Pickens. The injury concern is significant, though, and I think that's where people fall in love with film and don't look at the bigger picture that the teams have to do when they're doing stack, is that significant knee injury. He did return. It felt like he rushed because he didn't look near as explosive as he did earlier in his career. And the production shows that. Now, people are going to make the argument about Stetson Bennett. Okay, fine. That is probably a factor. But I will also say that when he was given the opportunity, 9 targets there last season down the stretch, didn't make a whole lot of them in terms of manufactured yardage or anything like that. Good effort receiver. I just don't know that he's 100%.
I don't think he is 100%, but I think that's the question is are you okay with him not being 100%, and can you bet on him being 100% in 2023? Because he may not get there in 2022. Right. Yes, you want help, but he can still help you in 2022 with the way he is right now. I just don't – he's not going to be the same receiver that he could be in 2023 because of that injury. ACLs usually what take 2 years probably to fully get over?
Or full explosiveness? Yeah, I would think so.
Right. So in 2023, he'd be in good shape. Now, one other argument I want to make really quick since we talked about Debo. The other thing that we didn't discuss is you talked about guys like Juju and guys like Mecole Hardman. You know, those are their slot. That's their slot role. If you really are interested in Debo, I don't think you really care about those two guys. And I say that because Debo's going to be here longer if you bring him to Kansas City than those two guys are going to be here.
True. And both of the guys have shown that they can go outside. And for Mecole, it is an opportunity to play more Z. I get that. But I'm saying in terms of like where their production starts, where we know that they can fit in is in the slot. And the rest becomes a bit more of a
game. Yeah. And I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I just wanted to point that out. I mean, that's the big thing for me is those guys are both on one-year deals basically at this point.
Yeah,
and that's really why it comes down to me that wide receiver is such a bigger need than edge because you have guys that can step in and play edge. Yes, they're not going to get the production you want. Mike Dana's not going to give you the production you want,
right?
But he can start, he can play, and you would be probably not near where you want to be, but you at least have somebody on the roster in 2023. You don't have that at wide receiver.
True.
That's a huge problem.
Yeah, but you can't forego the forest for the trees, right? You got to tackle the problem that's in front of you first.
Yep.
But I see where you're coming from. That is a fair point.
And the bigger question to me though is when you start looking at edges, you start looking at guys that don't necessarily fit, and you're still doing projection with a guy like Boye Mafe. You're figuring what he can be, not necessarily what he showed.
Right.
And you know, a David Ajabo, if you go with that route, he's going to be out probably in 2022. So you're expecting things in 2023, but that's still a projection because he only really had 1 year of production.
Yeah.
So it's all one of those, it's all kind of those things when you're looking at the first round. It's projection on all those guys that are going to be available. And that's unfortunate for Kansas City unless they make a move up. And then it still could be projection if you're talking about Drake London or Jameson Williams.
Yeah. And that's where it comes into. We'll know for all those guys. If somebody goes up to 10 and gets in, the Jameson Williams medicals are great. Mm-hmm. I have much more faith in Drake London being perfectly fine because it was a non-soft tissue. It was bone. He's going to be absolutely fine. The reason he didn't run agilities in a 40 at his pro day is because he's not Jameson Williams. That's the only reason. It's not a medical thing.
There's no benefit for him to do it.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. He is the closest thing to Mike Williams in this draft. And that's not to say that he could be Mike Williams level, but the game has some similarities. I actually think he's closer to Tony myself, Gonzalez, that is, but that's me. I think that the canary in the mine shaft here is going to be Pickens. A lot of people like him, especially in Chiefs Kingdom. I'm going to tell you, the reason I have him down with Burks, who is clearly in the second tier, is because of the medicals. Now, if everybody feels glowingly about that, you'll see him jump up into the back of the first or the very top of the second, and then you know that it's perfectly legit. And if the Chiefs are the ones who moves around to do that, then rock on. I won't have any problem with it. If you don't see him until 50 plus, there's something wrong with that medical.
Yeah, and the teams are going to know that. We're not going to know that going into it unless somebody breaks that, which generally isn't going to be the case going into a draft. People aren't usually going to be talking about medicals. But I think that's a big question with him. And you start looking at what else that could mean for other players. You start looking at where Kansas City could go otherwise. I mean, you have medicals with Ajabo. You have medicals with Pickens. You have medicals with Jameson Williams. And then you start getting to other guys just in general. So you start looking at the corner class. How many corners are going to go in this top round? I mean, the questions that the positions Kansas City needs the most help are positions that is going that are going to be picked over by the time you get to 29 and 30. That's why we've been talking this entire time that they're going to have to move up or they're going to have to move back. They have to choose which way they're going to go. Now, long-term roster building, sorry, I just want to this. Long-term roster building, I would love for them to trade back. If they could get an extra third and an extra fourth or an extra second somehow by trading those two picks and going back 5 or 10 spots, they're going to be landing in a gold mine of players, because I really do think that you can get a ton of value from 35 to 50, 55, 60.
Yeah.
And if you can get three or four of those guys, you get three or four starters, your cost is so low for the next 4 years. It's huge.
I'm completely with you. I think giving up a third in order to take your 29 and go into the 20s or into the teens, I like that, because then you take 30 and you move back and you recover that third, is my guess. So I'm 100% with you. The problem with the corners, I got to tell you, is the two guys that like have the nasty streak and the confidence streak that the Chiefs, two of the aspects the Chiefs really like, the two shortest arm guys in this draft, in McCreary and McDuffie. And I really like McDuffie's film. A lot more zone that kind of hides the fact that he is a good man corner as well. And so that leaves like the classic, like big athlete, long arm kind of guy who doesn't really know he's doing yet. There's a couple of those guys too. And so that's where I think the Chiefs are probably going to land.
Well, and it's a question of, do they go for somebody that is not normally their typical guy? I mean, exactly. And you know, you start looking at corner, and I fall back to wide receiver as well, because I think that looking at what Kansas City is going to do in this draft is going to determine how they're going to be running their offense this year, next year, and the next several years, and kind of in the corners as well. Because if you start going outside of what your norms have been, you can change things up and you can, you know, change how things are going to happen. There's still a question whether or not they're going to go trade for a guy like James Bradbury. We haven't talked about that, but I don't think that's something that they're really looking at right now, especially with the cost. Yeah. But you start looking at what they can do at the wide receiver position. Say they went and got a guy like Drake London. That completely changes what they have had on offense and their focus is what their focus has been. And that could open things up a lot differently.
Again, building the basketball team a little bit different, right? Maybe you're not a three-guard team anymore. Maybe you want an actual post-up center. I don't know.
I'd rather have a six-guard team personally. I understand the basketball analogy doesn't work there, but if you can get to a point where they have to guard three or four or five guys on the field at once, you're in a much better position than just having, you know, two superstars, which is what they have right now, which is what they have had.
And I think the only reason that I would say that London is probably a longer shot for the Kansas City Chiefs is because Andy Reid was very specific in saying, hey, you know, our system isn't going to change that much without Tyreek. So we're not going to base it on throw him up balls. 50-50 is not our thing. We want 80% catch probability. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah. So, but he takes the 50-50 balls and makes them more like 80-20. So
true.
And I'm not saying they're going to go get London. I just wanted to use him as an example because of the body type and the style, because it's completely different than what they've really gone after most of the time. And I just think that you're going to see what they're thinking going forward and in the future. And you will see whether or not a guy like MVS or Juju is going to be here in 2023 or 2024 based on what they do in the draft, because it's going to determine how this team is going to play next year. And like I said, in 2023 and 2024,
it sets the table, and that's what it does. Mm-hmm. That's stacking and what it does for you folks and how you have to go about it. I hope you enjoyed that part. That's one of my favorite elements of the draft. I'm going to be doing it all weekend long. Look for my draft board, free and available at NFL33.com next week. Going to be fun. And then Tuesday, we'll have a regular show, and then I will be gone there after that. Chris will be with Matt for the beginning of the draft, and then draft stream live on all of the Tegna. The Locked On Network's Tegna parent is going to have all of our content. You can watch it even just on the Locked On NFL channel here on YouTube if you would like. But I will be live with Crocker over that. Chris will have pregame for all that. We'll have a reaction to the picks. It's going to be a lot of fun. I better get some rest this weekend. I don't know.
The draft is almost here.
Right? We're ready. We hope that you guys are ready. If you enjoyed this, please sub, and then, you know, hit the bell too, so you find out what comes next, because there's going to be a lot in the next couple of weeks, including all the fallout, all the grading after the draft as well. Don't forget that part. We'll be back with you on Monday. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks for listening to us today, and we'll talk.